Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. We are at facebook.com/radiocafe, and today we've got lots of things lined up for you. We're going to be speaking to Linda Siegel with the Legislative Update. We're going to be speaking about a play called Love Letters, which is happening on Valentine's Day, and Robert Knott will be here speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Bill Hutchison from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. This is Animal Friday.
Animal Friday. How are you, Mary Charlotte?
It's supposed to be the first Friday of the month, but it seems to always be the second, so we may re-standardize it to the second Friday of the month.
I think if there's one thing our community can depend on, it will be on a Friday in the month.
It will be on a Friday
unless
in the month.
Unless we have to move it to another day.
Which we won't.
We might.
It's true. Bill Hutchison. So at the animal shelter, we have talked a great deal about animal health and safety, about spaying and neutering, about adopting the cute little fuzzy bunnies and kitties and doggies and puppies and all those kinds of things. One thing that we haven't talked much about is the fact that there is a very important part of taking care of animals which the community engages in called fostering animals.
Indeed. The shelter does a good job, as most of you know, at what we do, but there are certain things that are best left to families outside the shelter, and that is fostering. We get a lot of young kittens and puppies into the shelter, as well as those with medical or behavioral needs who are not so young anymore. But primarily the need is with these youngsters, and the shelter is not a great place for really young animals, and so we're committed to serving them. We have to be there for them. So we have to find creative ways to do it. And one of the standard ways that good shelters always try to find options for their younger animals is through fostering, where we get people in the community to bring these young animals into their home until they're old enough and healthy enough and ready to go into lifetime homes.
So basically, you want them to chew somebody else's shoes.
Exactly, and learn not to chew the next person's shoes. And it's a tricky job to do fostering, because you're sort of adopting in the mode of not adopting. You're bringing them in, and you're going to care for them, and you're going to give them everything you can possibly give them, and then you're going to give them back to the shelter, and we're going to find homes, and we're going to prevail on you, foster family, to take the next batch that comes along. And indeed, we've learned that it's not for everybody, but those who are inclined to take on the project find that the rewards are phenomenal. I sort of imagine it like teaching. You know, you send your kids off to school for a chunk of hours every day, and at some point, ideally, they've learned at least enough to get a decent start in the world, and you cut them loose, and you cross your fingers, and you hope everything goes okay. And indeed, these foster families, they give these animals that we send home to them an unbelievable foundation, an unbelievable start, and it's a step up from where most animals are really beginning from.
So just like the teacher who educates all these students day after day, year after year, but doesn't bring them home and adopt them.
Precisely.
These people. Now, do you find that people who foster, I mean, I would think that if I were fostering a puppy, I would just adopt it.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Okay.
It happens all the time. We have people fall off the foster roster because they've fallen in love with somebody, and others who stay on who adopt somebody out of a litter they have, say, and still stay on the foster roster and keep things going and incorporate that animal into the teaching of the next chunks of animals they'll have. We have a number of families who do it as a family project. It's the way that the kiddos learn how to be responsible and care for and be tender toward those animals who need our stewardship.
And also to let them go.
And also to let them go, which is not, it is not easy. You really invest, especially with puppies and kittens, you invest hours and hours and hours. We recently got a litter of puppies into the shelter that were probably a week old, maybe less. They needed to be bottle fed every 2 hours for the first couple of weeks, and then you get cut back to every 4 hours, and then you cut back a little further. But really,
so you have people doing the graveyard shift with these puppies?
They take them home, and they wake up every 2 hours, all night long, to make sure that these animals get the start that they need to have healthy, full lives. And indeed, people show up for this in a big way. We put it out very quickly into the community when we got these puppies in. And really, within a matter of about 15 minutes, we had all, I think there were about 8 puppies spread out between 3 foster homes to get them going, to get them ready, and to get them keep them healthy and give them the start that they deserve. It's very hard with these young animals sometimes because they can be prone to all kinds of diseases and other sort of health situations. But you get them into a foster home where they get nonstop love and attention. And the things that change are really stunning. You see a huge difference in the lives of these animals when they come back to the shelter.
Now, do you provide dog food?
We provide as much as we can. We have a lot of foster families who take that burden onto themselves, and it's really spectacular. The upshot is puppies don't eat all that much, nor do kittens. So these foster families who help us not just with fostering the animals out, but also with providing a lot of the food for themselves are a huge boon. We still step up, though, for those families who can't do that. But it's really amazing to see what people in this community will do for... It's very much like the teacher who brings the kids in who's never met them before. He or she doesn't know if these are going to be great kids, terrible kids, if they're going to throw a rock and chunk them in the back of the head. And yet the commitment is pretty unwavering, and the same thing happens with our foster families. You don't always know what you're going to get. And puppies and kittens, that's no small job. Puppies especially, as you say, they get into things. They can be noisy and raucous and run over all over the place and track mud and other less desirable substances throughout your house. But it's really, for those who can commit to it, it is a stunning development that happens between both the humans and the animals.
And then they come back. It transcends cuteness.
It's way beyond cuteness, because let's be honest, when a kitten or a puppy is really starting to get under your skin, the cuteness doesn't really matter so much. But that commitment remains, and that commitment is what I think gets these animals to a point where their future is much more solid and much more certain, and they gain confidence and skills on how to live in a home. And that's a big deal for young animals. Growing up in the shelter and then transplanting to a home can be a little bit tough. The transition is a big jump, but if you're raised for the first weeks and months of your life in a home, you start understanding appropriate home behaviors, and that is huge. Behavior issues are the main reason we end up with animals surrendered to the shelter. So when we can get a head start on making sure that these relationships can stay safe and sane, then we know we have lifetime placements and we're not going to see this animal back at the shelter. It's going to go into a home where it'll be loved and it'll stay there.
What are the types of animals that mostly need fostering? Just basically dogs and cats?
Pretty much exclusively dogs and cats. Although
no hamster foster.
We haven't needed much of a hamster foster. They tend not to have much in the way of behavioral problems that get out of control. I think if we had 50-pound hamsters, it would be a very different story, but the world would be very different in a number of ways.
You didn't see that South Park.
No.
No, they were a lot bigger.
I'm a little frightened of 50-pound hamsters, just the thought of it, the hamster of unusual size. I think that primarily it's dogs and cats, but puppies and kittens, and then ranging to adult animals who have medical or behavioral issues. It's less frequent that we have those, but we have some amazing people in this community who take on these behaviorally challenged dogs, and who, by the time they come back to us, it is as though they have swapped this dog out and replaced it with a dog that looks precisely the same, but acts like a dream. I'm thinking of one foster parent in particular, Julie, who takes these troubled dogs, and they just sort of disappear and go live with her for a time, for weeks or months, and then they come back. And it is hands down one of the most heartwarming experiences of working at a shelter, of seeing a dog leave who's scared and nippy and snappy and come back a changed being, really just confident and comfortable in their own skin and eager to be around and with people.
Is it better if a foster family has some well-socialized dogs that can help to socialize a new puppy?
Some of our families have both dogs and cats, and I think when you're bringing a puppy into a home and they're learning how to interact not just with the human animal but with other dog animals and cat animals, you're really setting that dog up for a good solid background on how to be a social creature in a world full of a whole variety of species it's going to have to interact with. So does it help? Absolutely. Absolutely. We find that a lot of families who have animals already, these are teacher animals, and they really show along with the humans, they show the younger animals the ropes.
There is, it's important that the animals are already well socialized. I mean, if I had a foster dog in my house, it would learn all sorts of not so good tricks because I haven't fully controlled some of the bad behaviors of my little doggies.
Yes, it's very difficult. I am in much the same boat. But I think regardless of, there is no really perfect situation for an animal, much the same way as anybody who has kids, I think there's some ups and some downs. But giving them the chance to interact in a whole variety of situations, even if they're less than ideal, still puts them ahead. It lets them encounter these situations at, you know, so milk and honey, maybe teach them a little safe cracking and surveillance. Those are probably going to come in handy somewhere down the line.
Yeah, or fence cracking.
Yes, fence cracking. That's a little bit more of a dangerous road to go down. But when you get these, especially with puppies, into your home, they're not socialized. Puppies are, and I admit they're cute, and I'm going to say something extraordinarily controversial, listeners, so hang on. Puppies are morons. They're really just, they're like tiny little idiots. And so the opportunity for a foster family is to turn this bundle of moronic cuteness into something that is going to be functioning and happy and capable in a world that is, that can be surprising and can be a bit of a challenge. But
in a world that can be surprising.
In a world of surprises and challenges, foster families make the difference.
One foster family. All right, so fostering, that's something that people can do by basically just, calling the animal shelter.
Yes, we're in the process of revamping our foster program. We, our Sarah, who has led our foster program for the last couple of years and has done an excellent job, is moving on from the shelter. So we're folding it into part of our volunteer program. And I think that's going to provide some really great opportunities for the animals that come in need of this fostering. If you are interested in learning more about being a foster family, then you can certainly give Mary, our volunteer coordinator, a call. She's at 983-4309, extension 128. That's Mary at the shelter. Shelter's phone number, extension 128. Or you can email her.
128.
128. Or you can email her at mhendricks like Jimmy, mhendricks@sfhumanesociety.org.
And Jimmy is spelled J-I-M-I.
Yes, but do not put that in the email address or it will never arrive. And if you didn't have a pen or a pencil or you're driving in your car and unable to write on the frost inside your windshield, just call the shelter up and ask for the foster program and they'll get you going. It is an unbelievably rewarding experience. It is not it's not the easiest thing. I don't want to pretend that you just bring puppies in and cut them loose and they're happy and everything's great and you don't have to do anything. But if you are willing to invest the little bit of time and effort that they need, man, it is a life changer. It is an absolute life changer for you, the human, and it's a lifesaver for these animals.
Bill Hutcherson, so before we go, I want to let people know also that, or remind people that the animal shelter is open to thrift store.
We had our grand opening on Saturday. Very exciting. We had Saturday and Sunday. And it was, we had a ton of people turn out for this. It has been a great project. The thrift shop is called Look What the Cat Dragged In. It's one of our projects on trying to find creative ways to make money and stay sustainable in an economy that has made contributions get a little shallow. The thrift store is located at 2570 Camino Entrada between Outback and Kohl's. It's right next to our satellite clinic. And I'll tell you...
So you can get your pet neutered and... Buy thrifty items at
the same time. Buy thrifty items. And there is cool stuff there. Let me just tell you a handful of things that I have procured myself. A miniature antique traveling desk, antique brass egg warmer in the boiled egg warmer in the shape of a giant egg with a bird perched on top. A very fine sweater that is the brand name I don't remember because it's a fancy brand name and it's the only such brand name in my closet. But the items that we've gotten in are spectacular at prices that even someone on an animal shelter person's salary can afford. So I would heartily encourage folks to go out there and check out what we've got at the thrift shop, as well as realize that every dollar you put into the thrift shop goes straight to the animals. And I want to thank Joe DiBella, the realtor, who has given us an unbelievable deal on the space, which has allowed us to get it open.
That's fantastic. And if people want to donate their brass egg warmers to replace the one that you took home,
I'll buy that one too. You can go by the thrift shop. It's open Thursday through Sunday from 10 to 6. You can call 474-6300 if you need to make other arrangements to get your items in. But whatever you have, anything that is fine and usable and no longer needed by you, send it to us. We will find a good new home for it and take the dollars that we raise and send them over to the critters.
And do you take books?
We take books. Oh, that's the other thing. I've gotten some great books. We have killer prices on books. You're going to be hard-pressed to spend more than a couple of bucks per volume, but we've gotten excellent books. Like, I'm talking hardcover volumes of the most current readable fiction, a whole variety of stuff. It is spectacular, and this is coming from a person who is not easily impressed by thrift stores.
I love thrift stores, and I haven't been to one for a while, so I am going this weekend. Look at what the cat dragged in.
I will see you there.
Excellent. Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and he will be here in probably about 4 weeks.
That sounds peachy. I'm always delighted to see you.
Thanks for being with us. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a moment with Linda Siegel with the Legislative Update. I'd like now to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So it's been a week since we last talked. What are some of the highlights of what's going on at the legislature?
Well, of course, the big issue is the budget. And here we are. We're 7 days out from the end of the session, and there really isn't one. The House has passed a budget. The Senate Finance took it up and on yesterday passed some amendments, so I believe they're going to vote it out today and send it down to the Senate floor. But the problem is it's very different from the House version. The House version left about $300 million that needed to be made up in tax increases. And what the Senate did was they cut another $150 million and then proposed $150 million in taxes, which are different from the taxes that the House proposed.
Oh
so
boy.
We're getting ready for, as we call it up there, a train wreck where the two different chambers disagree. And, of course, the governor issued a press release yesterday where he said, oh, I hate the Senate budget.
So how do they resolve this? I mean, what are this is not the first time we've had this type of situation.
No, this happens usually all the time. Well, what they'll do is the Senate will perhaps pass the House bill too, but we're not quite sure of that because some of the senators are not happy with this version of cutting because one of the big problems is that the House held harmless public education and the Senate cut around $60 million from public education. So there are many senators that are not happy about that. But the way the process works, if the Senate were to pass the bill, then it has to go back to the House for concurrence. Well, the House won't concur. Then they send the bill back to the Senate and ask the Senate to recede on those amendments. And, of course, the Senate won't recede. And then what they do is form a conference committee made up of 3 or 4 members from each chamber, and they get together in one of those dark, smoke-filled rooms and try to figure out what the solution will be.
We look forward to hearing more about that. Now, I got a notice from somebody saying that the Health and Human Services Committee in the House was going to table H.R. 235, which was Purchasing from Persons with Disabilities Act, but in fact, that is going to be heard, and it does affect contracts for disabled people in the state. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I know that originally in the budget, developmentally disabled services were cut. And I think the House tried to put some money back, but I can't say that I know exactly what's happening with that precise bill. There have been some good bills that have passed
out of
the House, a whistleblower that would protect public employees when they reveal illegal or unsafe practices happening, and that bill's on the way to the Senate. The cell phone ban passed the House, so none of us can talk on our cell phones anywhere in New Mexico when we're driving. That's probably a good thing.
Even with the hands-free devices?
Well, I think the hand-free is. They can't really see you with the hands-free devices.
Yes. Okay. What, any other good bills?
Well, what hasn't passed, again, are the ethics bills. Both chambers have been working on ethics bills, and nothing has passed the House chamber or the Senate chamber, and with 7 days left, that's fairly unlikely. Another interesting occurrence, though, is that the Senate brought 2 bills back from the last legislative session to override them. The governor had vetoed a bill that the bill actually said that the Legislative Finance Committee and different departments of state government should be able to there should be transparency about these huge health care contracts, these huge Medicaid health care contracts, because we don't even know how much the providers are being paid. We know nothing about the details of that contract. Well, the governor vetoed that bill, and the Senate overrode that veto, and it sent it to the House to try to override. And then they also brought back a bill that would expand the investment council. There's been all the controversy over how our funds are invested, who did it, who's making money off of it. Well, this bill would have expanded the investment council to allow the legislators to have some input. So those are two great challenges to the governor's authority if the House also overrides them.
And we will get an update on that. I got a notice from Wild Earth Guardians that as we speak, today at 8:30 in the morning, there's an anti-wolf memorial in room 315 at the Capitol, and there's not a lot of wolves left in the wild, so they were encouraging people to show up for that. It's a memorial, not a bill. Nevertheless, people can give Wild Earth Guardians a call if they are interested in more information on that. Anything else that we need to talk about right now, Linda Siegel?
Well, we'll have today there is a one of the bills that the Senate is proposing is a food tax, putting the food tax back on, but only on non-nutritious foods. But in the category of non-nutritious would be tortillas. So Alan Sanchez of the Catholic Church is having a big rally today. So they're bringing up 12,000 tortillas to oppose this bill, this tax bill that the Senate's proposing.
That is very funny. So tortillas out, cheesy puffs in, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
All right. Linda Siegel is with us every Friday with the Legislative Update. And after the session, we are going to do a recap show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break now. We'll be back in just a moment. I'd like now to welcome Elena Zachary and William Vertiber. They are going to be performing A.R. Gurney's play Love Letters this coming Sunday, Valentine's Day, at 4 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
Hi,
it's
you.
A pleasure.
Now, this is an unusual play in that it was written to be read mm-hmm. rather than performed
right.
running around on a stage with sets and all that stuff.
Yes.
It's a conversation of a friendship through letters of, 50 years?
Close to 50 years between mm-hmm. two people, starting in virtually in grade school mm-hmm. through late middle age.
Second grade, actually, through late middle age, yeah.
And so it's a love story.
It's a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
People fall in love with each other in kindergarten? I suppose it happens.
Oh, and they're so willing to say it much more than 30 years later, believe me.
Right. So tell us a little bit, without giving too much away, we don't want to know all about their what happens, but how does the play develop?
Well, it goes, the relationship goes through phases. It's not just a lifelong love affair. I mean, they go through different relationships. They're separated, you know, and they find their way back together in different things. It goes through a lot of permutations, starts as a childhood friendship and flirtation and crush and things, and then they go their separate ways, and they're always trying to connect one way or another,
mm-hmm.
and that's which is why, and he is, he's very much in love with writing letters. He insists that they're constantly writing each other, and it's really at his insistence because he feels he expresses himself more on paper and better on paper than he does in a room with a human being.
Because she feels as if that he's a product of his parents,
right.
and his father insisted. She'd rather talk on the telephone. She's very socialized. She comes from a wildly dysfunctional, very overprivileged family. And their life paths take them through the war and through summer camps and through different schools. And it's just like in real life with a long-term friendship where you come together at different points and you've changed from point to point. What they have in common through all of this life is each other, and that is the one constant for each of them,
mm-hmm.
is this life-enduring friendship.
And as I say, it isn't simply a friendship. It does take different forms throughout the course of their life and the places it takes them. It's fascinating, and it's a really, I think it's a really lovely piece, and it's a very maturely written piece. Gurney is, I don't think he's particularly well known out this part of the country because he's considered very much of a waspy kind of playwright, but this play in particular of his, I find one of his best, if not his best, because where they're from has less to do with what happens in their relationship than in many of his other plays. He's very popular in New York and off-Broadway and on-Broadway, and has been for many years.
Right.
His works don't necessarily travel well. But this one in particular, I think, can travel anywhere. And
I've heard that love is somewhat of a universal theme.
Yeah, kind of.
Especially
kind
on
of.
Sunday.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. This Sunday, I think it works. And it's a very warm mm-hmm. piece, I find.
We thought it would be sort of cute, if you forgive me, to offer it as a Valentine through Collected Works. And they have a lovely little stage, and we're very welcoming of the idea. And Bill and I had met doing Line in Winter,
which is a fabulous play performed here in San Fe.
Thank you so much, directed by Suzanne Lederer.
Yeah.
And we had an immediate rapport, and we said to ourselves, what else can we do?
Yeah.
And Bill, I think it was your suggestion for this girl, and we have some other two characters
yes, it was.
In mind. He's just patted himself metaphorically on the back. And it's a beautiful, it was a beautiful coming together, and it's going to be just, well, it's like a little gift to the community on Sunday.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, really enjoyable for us to do that we think has meaning and depth and is a joy for us to read together, mm-hmm. and we're very happy to do it this Sunday at no charge.
Right. Dorothy Massey has been very welcoming, and they have a nice little stage set up now for such things.
Well, since the bookstore Collected Works moved into its new space, they've been able to do more things of this nature, mm-hmm. which is delightful. The play is called Love Letters by A.R. Gurney. Elena Zachary and William Vertiber will be performing it on Sunday, Valentine's Day, at 4 o'clock. It's free. Everybody's welcome. There's a coffee
Absolutely.
Bar
That's
there,
right.
too.
That's right. And there's a roaring fire and couches.
Yes, those are really nice couches, too.
Yes,
one could sleep there, but not during your play.
No, definitely not.
Please not.
I'm too loud.
And I'm too subtle.
Thank you both so much for being
with
us.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks.
I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's the education reporter in the New Mexican, and he's with us here every Friday speaking of the arts.
That was a great interview for Love Letters, and that's a fun thing for people to go see
that
on Sunday.
That is really fun.
Yeah, it's
Those
great.
Guys are great.
Quick note, education-related note, as I try to get back onto that beat after some delay. A really nice lady, a parent, a volunteer named Tina, came into the paper yesterday, and she's working with middle school students at Ortiz on a knitting and crocheting circle. Happens every Wednesday. It's a good way to keep kids involved in an after-school program. She said there's boys as well as girls in that. And they are always looking for donations of knitting and crocheting stuff. So that would mean, like, what, yarn and fabric, and what do you knit and crochet with?
What do you knit and crochet with? Yarn.
Okay. So
and knitting needles and crocheting
you
hooks.
You got it. So they're looking for all that sort of thing, and she told me I could give her phone number out, so here it is. 930-0889. If that's the sort of thing you want to help out with, give her a call, Tina. 930-0889. And she's working with staff members at Ortiz Middle School.
Now, I want to let people know also that there is, at 6 o'clock, I'm announcing this in advance, and I'll announce it again next week. I'm doing an interview on Monday with the director, the filmmaker of a film called The War on Kids.
Uh-huh.
And that's being shown on Monday the 22nd of February at 6 o'clock in the evening at, where is it at? It's at the Educational Services Center at 610 Alta Vista Street.
Yeah.
I've never been there, but it shouldn't be that hard to find because Alta Vista Street isn't
No, it's right on the other side of
long.
Trader Joe's there. So it's
parallel
to Trader Joe's in Cordova behind it. And it's a nice little building, and I attended a similar lecture there a couple weeks ago that was terrific I wrote about. So
That film is fantastic. It is really, really good. The War on Kids.
They're sending me a copy, but I haven't seen it yet, so I hope to get it. Also, No Impact Man, film-wise, is
Oh, that's a great movie, too.
7 o'clock Wednesday night as part of the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute movie series, and it's at the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion. Here's a phone number, 983-7726, and yes, you do have to get in. You do have to pay to get in unless you are a Santa Fe Farmers Market vendor. Now, the cover of Pasatiempo has a bunch of underwear on it.
It does indeed.
I had nothing to do with that.
Bikinis, briefs, thongs, God, Lord knows what else.
Alabama-born artist Sloan Bibb. He likes to incorporate elements of both collage and painting in his work, and it's part of an exhibition at La Kind Fine Art. It's a reception tonight, and they cover images called panties. As for the exhibit itself, it's at 662 Canyon Road, 5 to 7:30 tonight. Show runs through the 23rd, and Laura Gladden did a nice piece on her, the artist, in today's Pasatiempo.
And we actually have a ticket giveaway to do.
Yay!
Eric Bibb and Ruthie Foster are going to be at the Lensic. When is that? Mary Lynn is with us in the studio.
Yes, that's Saturday the 13th,
tomorrow
night at 7 p.m. And this should be a great blues event.
Two wonderful African-American man and a woman doing Delta blues, guitar, vocals, all sorts of things. Blues, gospel, folk, and soul. Anyway, so if people want to get a pair of tickets to that, now only call for the tickets if you really want to go and if you can go tomorrow night. Don't just call to call if your plans aren't, you know, oh, I might be doing something else, but hey, I'll just call, you know. Only call if you really want to go, 428-1382, and we will take the third caller, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, thanks.
And I got to plug Pasa Tiempo on that. Paul Weideman did an interview with them that's in the Pasa today, page 20. Yeah, the other night I was supposed to go see the Trox, but I had to stay.
I wanted to see that. Oh, my goodness.
So I called the Lensic and I said, can you use the tickets? And they said, we're totally sold out. We can definitely use the tickets. So I gave my tickets back. So it is important if you can't use the tickets, try to do your best to give them back. And I missed the Trox, although I saw them years ago. There is a Teatro Paraguas show called Parted Waters.
Yes, we did a show about that recently.
And that opens tonight at 7:30 at the Teatro Paraguas studio at 3221B. Richards Lane, 424-1601. See the story in today's Pasatiempo. And Angelo Jaramillo, a local artist, author, I would call him a celebrity, is in the show. Take a look at the story by Amy Coor in today's Pasatiempo, right near all the Valentine's Day ads, which include a lot of lingerie. Maude Barlow, what do you know about her?
Oh, she is somebody who is sounding the alarm about water worldwide.
She is.
Very, very important work that she's doing. Water is basically the next oil in terms of scarcity and people fighting wars, God forbid. And she's going to be speaking
at the Lannan Foundation with journalist Laura Flanders. It's going to be at 7 o'clock Wednesday. You got to pay to get in. 988-1234, and then of course it rebroadcasts itself here on KSFR 2 o'clock on February 21st, Susan Meadows did a piece in today's PASA on it. And that stuff is always sort of scary.
It is. Well, it's scary, but it's like, you better take a look at it. I mean, it's worth going to. Those Lannan events are wonderful, and it's worth going, and if you can't go, listening to it on KSFR. All their events are great, but this one in particular, I mean, not informing yourself about the state of water is kind of like sitting on the lower deck of the Titanic, you know, as it's about to hit the iceberg, drinking tea and saying, what, nothing's wrong?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Among the movies playing in town, Crazy Heart, I'm going to go see it this weekend. Best Actor nomination for Jeff Bridges, shot in and around town. And A Nightmare in Las Cruces, which is about the Las Cruces bowling alley massacre. That's at CCA.
Good heavens.
Today and tomorrow, that occurred 20 years ago. A Single Man with Colin Firth, who was terrific in that picture by Tom Ford, Santa Fe resident. And in terms of bigger pictures, you got The Wolfman, Valentine's Day, and Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief. And I've drawn The Wolfman as the review, so yikes, I got to go see that one.
And I just got an email from Nicole Rosmarino from Wild Earth Guardians saying that the legislature is having a hearing about wolves. It's an anti-wolf memorial. If you care about wolves one way or the other, you can go. It's actually started a few minutes ago, started around 8:30, and find the House Energy and Natural Resources Committee room at the Capitol.
On Tuesday, February 16th at 7:30 at St. Francis, you've got the Van Brugh String Quartet. When Irish guys are playing. Why are they coming here for Valentine's Day and not for St. Paddy's Day? Oh, well. Santa Fe Concert Association presents it. Give them a ring. You can call SFCA at 984-8759. You can always call the Lensic, 988-1234. And the Yes Men.
The Yes Men.
Well, that's actually next weekend.
It's next weekend. Well, it's Monday the 22nd of February at the Lensic. And I just watched that movie, which is going to be screening at the Lensic, called The Yes Men Fix the World. And the Yes Men are going to be there. They're these two, what would you call them? They're media artists, sort of culture jammers. What they do is they made these websites that they really did own the domain names of and everything that were called, the first one I think was gwbush.com. and then they had GAT.org, and people wrote to them, and they had completely satirical articles on them, but people wouldn't read the articles, and they would call them and say, would you like to speak at our conference? They'd say, okay.
Yeah.
So they'd show up with phony names and do these outrageous presentations to see if anybody noticed, and to basically kind of shake up, basically what they were doing was criticizing corporations and other organizations that were putting profits ahead of people, and they are both really cutting edge activism and social critique, and they're hilarious.
Yeah, so that's got, I'm off by a week, though. That's a week from Monday.
And I'm going to be interviewed. They're going to be on the show on Monday, and it's the Santa Fe Art Institute's 25th anniversary.
That's right. Love, what do you know about it?
Not much.
That makes two of us. I'm trying to learn. The Dance Station teams up with Santa Fe Performing Arts to present Love, a student showcase of dance, ballroom, Latin swing, tango. 7:30 tonight and tomorrow at the Armory for the Arts Theater, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Call 989-9788. And
of course, the Mambo Room tomorrow night.
The Mambo Room.
Yes.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, you do.
No,
the Mambo.
You.
I turned the page and I'm not on the page with the Mambo Room.
Oh, well, I'm not either. We'll get to the Mambo Room in just a moment. Because I have to open that email. But the Mambo Room is tomorrow night at the Lodge, and it's all about... here it is. Sweet and Sexy Valentine's Party. Live salsa and Latin dance music. Champagne, door prizes, love potions at the bar. Ladies, wear something red. Invite your friends. And
great.
That's from 9 to 1:30, 9 in the evening to 1:30 in the morning.
Meanwhile, Corazon had to cancel its Dance for Haiti benefit last week, but they've picked it back up again at Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Head on over there for a dance benefit featuring local DJs Melanie Moore, King George, and others. Admission is not that much. It's a donation. Call 983-4559, which is Corazon, over on Guadalupe Street. So if you're interested in helping out Dance for Haiti, there it is, by all means.
So we talked about Love Letters at Collected Works, which is at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Tonight at Collected Works, Jennifer Kitchell will read from and sign her debut novel, Girl with a Skirt of Stars.
Whoa. Speaking of...
Know anything about that?
A Skirt of Stars?
No, I haven't read it.
She's probably one of those patriotic pinups from the 40s, where they'd have like really lovely legs, but they'd have like a skirt with... It's a good way to get you to salute the flag, I guess. But I don't know. I have a picture of like old 1940s pinups, and there's a gal on the front in like a Uncle Sam attire, but it looks really good on her without the beard. And she's got a skirt with stars on it and baton and all that stuff that looks pretty hot from those dames in the 1940s.
Yeah, I don't know that's what the book is about.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, a new fiction. So check it out.
That's pretty good. And love-wise, love is a circus, according to Wise Fool New Mexico. It was doing a physical theater-driven ensemble. Their Feast of Fools Valentine's Day variety show takes place at 6 p.m. on Valentine's Day. Muno's Waxman Gallery at CCA, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. If the tickets seem expensive, you get to eat a gourmet meal courtesy of Walter Burke Catering. 992-2588. I have a short mixed media on it in today's Paso Tiempo. If you want more details, take a look.
Hey, here's another event. Chuck Jones Gallery is celebrating the 20th anniversary of the world's most dysfunctional family, The Simpsons. And they're having an opening, when is that? That's tomorrow, Saturday from 4 to 7 in the evening. From 5 to 8 in the evening. And I'm confused here because they also have another gallery somewhere else, and it's on the same notice here. But anyway, it's at 135 West Palace Avenue, Chuck Jones Gallery, and original art from The Simpsons. It's hilarious.
Oh, another one of those press releases not perfectly written, huh?
It may be, but I got confused.
Happy birthday, Meow Wolf, 1800 Second
Yay!
Street, group show, reception 5 to 9. That little youth-oriented ensemble off Second Street was honored in its inclusion in New York Times travel piece last Sunday, which looked at Santa Fe as an arts destination. Also, the UFO ensemble, which of course would interest me greatly.
It would indeed.
Which we have a story on today's PASA, includes that's Mark Weaver's acoustic quartet. They're playing at 8 o'clock tonight at Santa Fe Complex, 632 Agrafria Street. You got to pay to get in. Call 216-7562.
Now, did you talk about the film That Evening Sun, which is opening tonight at the CCA?
I did not. Laurel Gladden gave it a great review in today's Pasta Tampa.
Hal Holbrook plays an aging Tennessee farmer who flees the old folks' home and catches a ride back to his country farm to live out his days in peace. Hal Holbrook is a great actor. Anyway, he goes home. He finds out that his son has leased the farm to his old enemy, and one thing leads to another. Southern film. It's supposed to be fantastic.
Benchwarmers 9 continues at the Santa Fe Playhouse. 8 o'clock tonight, tomorrow 2 o'clock Saturday. I think Thursday nights are pay what you wish. Call 988-4262, and I have to get over there and see that darn thing. And Peter Pesek's going to be doing music of Chopin, 12 noon Thursday at the Junior Common Room up at Peterson Student Center, no charge. He's been doing that for years.
Yeah.
When I used to edit the Pasta Tampa counter like 15 years ago, I was putting him into the calendar, so I know he's been at it a long time.
Hey, Wise Fool is doing something. Love is a Circus?
I talked about that 3 minutes
ago.
Oh,
you did? Okay, never mind.
See, when I talk about love, you don't pay attention.
You're right. Why could that be?
I don't know. What about if I talk about lust?
Oh, now you're talking my language.
I am? Look at the difference in you. I said, what do you know about love? I don't know much. You gave me like that William Bendix. But I say lust, and you're like, come on, let's... You know, that's pretty good stuff there. What do you prefer, love or lust?
What's the difference?
Well, ideally you combine them, because then it's really lusty and much more passionate and you go crazy. But, you know, the thing is you got to figure out how love is different from lust. And then you have to sort of drink a lot of cold water and take cold showers when you're overwhelmed with lust. And they're spelled differently. One's O-V-E, one's U-S-T. But lust has a us in it, which is always fun. Whereas love just has a of in it. So it's a love of somebody else.
All right. Did you read, and I didn't hear you, 14 artists take on Valentine's Day?
No, I'd like to see them take on Valentine's Day.
First annual group exhibition and benefit curated by Bang, supporting Esperanza Women's Shelter, reception and party today from 5 to 8, J. Etkin Gallery, 703 Camino de la Familia, at the Art Yard behind Warehouse 21. It runs for, it runs through the 5th of March.
Excellent, excellent.
And there's food and all kinds of good stuff. Swank Love Lounge.
We like animals, as we know by you having Bill Hutchison on earlier. Zoe and Guido is doing a pet adoption thing event at 1:30 Saturday, trying to win over your heart. But then again, you could always go down to the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, where I like to take my dogs for a run in those big penned yards. Do you ever bring your dogs down there?
I haven't. I pretty much just go to the park near where I live or to the dog park.
Yeah, well, that's good. Right, you've got parks around here. Yeah, I bring my dogs now down there, and they run, and they go crazy, and they have fun, and they bark at the dogs in the other pens, and then they come home, and they sleep really well. Harold and Maude, great movie?
That's a great movie. I'm hoping to go on Saturday night. It's at the Lensic, right?
What's he, 20, and she's 80?
Something like that. It's a love story.
Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon, neither of them, well, I shouldn't say this, but I sometimes feel like neither of them was ever better than in that picture. Valentine's night, 7 o'clock. Got to pay a few bucks to get in.
Oh, is it Saturday or Sunday?
It's the 14th.
Okay, so it's Sunday.
Sunday. At the Lensic, Harold and Maude. I think it's on digital video, which is always a little unfortunate, but I guess that's a cheaper way to go these days when you're pulling up retro pictures. Also, Annie Leibovitz's Life Through a Lens documentary playing at 6 p.m. Thursday.
Nice.
At CCA.
Arte Bella Gallery reception today from 5 to 7, 235 Don Gaspar. Title of the show is Art Impact. I got a lot of things, a lot of art notices. I haven't actually seen the pieces, but, you know.
Well, there's a ton of stuff tonight. I'll zoom through them fast. Alexandra Stevens having a show called Things We Love. Melinda Morrison. Blue Chip Contemporaries having Cynthia Harlan, A Feeling of Power, 5 o'clock. That's over in San Francisco. Jane Sauer Gallery is having Creatures of Curiosity, sculpture work by Jeff Gorman, reception 5 o'clock up on Canyon Road. We talked about Meow Wolves and the Sea Gallery. SEA has Artists for Haiti, group show, auction 10 to 5 today. It's on Craftsman Road. I don't know where that is. Here's the phone number, 988-4920. And I think on Saturday there's Alexander Stevens has a show again, Chuck Jones you talked about. Gallery 822 on 822 Canyon Road has a Valentine show. So, yeah, there are a lot of things.
And how about this? On Tuesday, February 16th, RTE... No, what is RTE? Anyway, Van Bruce String Quartet from Cork, Ireland at 7:30 at the St. Francis Auditorium at the Museum of Fine Art, New Mexico Museum of Art on the Plaza. Music of Beethoven and Tchaikovsky.
Those guys.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Cowboys Sweetheart Ball, down, see you Saturday night with the Modern Swing Pioneers. Special guest Floyd Domino. 6 o'clock at the Scottish Rite Center. I didn't know you could dance up there. What do you think? It's one of those side rooms?
They've got lots of room in there.
Yeah, probably that big room upstairs. They're more open now to having people come in and do things there, which is great. A movie was just shot there, Passion Play, which I cover on front page of PASA today. 982-0462, you got to pay to get in, but proceeds benefit Learning Horse Incorporated, a Native American youth horse program.
Hey, Break Chains, Not Hearts, a Valentine's fundraiser for Chainbreaker. It's a poetry slam at 7 o'clock and a dance party at 10 o'clock featuring DJ Chowder, Dirt Girl, and DJ Gonzo. Raise the roof, raise the funds, raise the stakes. It's tonight at 1515 5th Street, one block from Cerrillos Road, and 989-3858. And Chainbreakers is all about, it's an organization that provides used bicycles and technical support for people who can't afford traditional transportation.
And raise a little hell while you're at it.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Hey, artist photographer Nancy Suter is doing a Talking About Your Photographs workshop.
Yay.
To talk about the meaning behind photographs. Bring your photos.
She's
and you'll
great.
Get some feedback. This is going to be at 6 o'clock Tuesday at the George O'Keefe Museum Art and Leadership Center on 123 Grand Avenue, the Education Annex. My understanding is it's free. It is free. Reservation suggested. Call 946-1007, Tuesday night 6. Bring your photographs. What kind of photographs do you have hidden away in your boxes?
A lot of really mediocre landscapes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have like a lot of dog photos?
I do.
So do I.
It's
embarrassing.
I made a thing on one of my Facebook pages, which is 78 pictures of all dogs.
Adios,
one
Mary
more
Charlotte.
Thing. Let's Dance is back. Santa Fe Community Orchestra's annual swing
weekend,
and
yeah.
ballroom. Oh, is that?
Next weekend.
Oh, that's next weekend. Okay, we'll talk about
we'll
that
plug
then.
It next Saturday.
Okay.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Robert Knott is with us here every
Yay.
Friday, speaking of the arts. He's great. Have a wonderful weekend. Oh, no, wait a minute. You can reach me at KSFR.
Oh, see?
No, you can reach me at what's my email address?
I can reach you across the table if I want.
Right.
Get my face slapped.
RadioCafe@KSFR.org is my email address. We're streaming at KSFR.org. And my podcast site, where you can hear the show anytime, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, is SantaFeRadioCafe.org.
Excellent.
Mary Lynn LeBlanc was engineering today wonderfully, as usual. Thanks for doing that ticket giveaway, and the tickets are, of course, gone. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta. We've got a minute left, Robert Knott. It's all yours.
Well, thanks. I'm going to go out to high school right now and meet some people and try to get back into the school beat here as best I can. And,
yeah.
See my perhaps controversial big picture column today, if you want, about the film industry, whichever.
Oh, that's right. We were going to talk about that. Yeah.
Probably better we didn't, actually. And I want to remind you, if you want to help contribute to Ortiz Middle School's Crochet Circle, call Tina, 983-0889-0889. I'm at this great house with a great hot tub and a fireplace and a beautiful dog. And I'm going to spend all weekend there, except for poker game tonight, where I'm going to probably lose my shirt.
Hey, and I just got a notice that conference committees are now open to the public.
They
if anyone
be.
Wants to go to conference committees at the roundhouse.
They should be. Pay
yes.
attention to your legislature. Pay attention
yep.
to what's happening.
Pay attention to the democratic process of which you are a part, whether you know it and like it or not. Hasta la vista, baby. Have
Adios.
A great weekend, Robert Knott. Happy Valentine's Day.
I was hoping you'd say that to me. Happy Valentine's Day.